This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hi there, Editor-in-Chief buddies. I am Stephanie Flaxman, and you are listening to Editor-in-Chief, the weekly audio broadcast that delivers the art of writing, updated for marketing in the digital age to help you become the Editor-in-Chief of your own digital business. Today's episode is called The Difference Between Making Choices and Attempting to Control. And I know it sounds pretty similar to an episode from a few weeks ago that was called The Difference Between Responsibility and Control. Sounds very similar. So I will link to that old episode in the show notes over on editorinchief.fm if you want to go back there and listen to that episode. But I'm actually, today's episode is actually different. But it spawned from what I talked about before. I guess these ideas are still kind of swimming around in my mind. So I wanted to do a different show, but also, and just kind of go a little more in depth, a little more micro on kind of the idea of making choices and attempting to control things and what the difference are. Or what the difference is between them so that you can, you know, evaluate it in how you go about taking responsibility for your work and the choices that you make without the frustrations that come along when you want to control. So that's what today's episode is going to be about. I'll warn you, I think I have some tangents in mind because these ideas when you have something that's swimming around in your head, like I said before, you kind of just start seeing things everywhere related to it. So I have a couple stories I want to talk about. But first, the first point that I wanted to get into is how I decided to do another episode about this topic. And recently, I've been hearing from, or I heard from kind of just like randomly different people, people telling me that I'm hard on myself. Just saying like, do you think you're hard on yourself, or don't be so hard on yourself? I heard it from Toby Lyles, who is our wonderful sound engineer here at Rainmaker FM. I'm linking to his site, 24 Sound, over on the show page on Editor-in-Chief FM. So if you want to learn more about Toby, go over there and check out his site. It's a very cool site. And Toby's great. And Toby said that to me about my work. He said, don't be so hard on yourself. And then someone else asked me, do you think you're hard on yourself? Or they said, no, but you're hard on yourself, when I was talking about something else. And so the reason, so then after I've heard this, and then I was thinking, well, how would I respond to that? I responded to Toby in a certain way, and I responded to those other people who were asking me in a way that was appropriate to the context. But then I was thinking about it later. I'm like, well, what really is my response to that? And what I came up with is that while it may look like I'm being hard on myself, I really just have this sharp awareness of being intentional with things that I do. So it may look like I'm hard on myself because I reflect back and think, you know, did I do things to the best of my ability? How can I improve? I just really like focusing on not just mindlessly making choices, but actually intentionally making choices. And that, you know, if I recognize that I could have done something better, you know, I want to make a note of that going forward. So yeah, so that is something that, you know, you can apply in your work as well, where, you know, you are kind of taking an intake of what you're producing and not being, you know, too self-critical or being hard on yourself, but thinking intentionally, you know what, that I don't know if that was the best choice. I'm going to maybe do things a little differently going forward. I think it might yield a better result. So this idea of choices brought me back to common themes that are always in my writing. And those two themes are identity and choices. And throughout like all of my books, I kind of always go back to these themes. They're just very present there. I have two books that seemingly don't have anything to do with identity and choices, but those are common themes. I will link to those in the show notes on editorinchief.fm as well. I guess you're realizing throughout everything I'm saying in this episode so far that there are a lot of juicy links over on the show notes page for, or the episode page for this episode in the show notes. I would recommend checking them out when you're done listening or while you're listening. Isn't that the beauty of listening to podcasts? You can click, click, click around on your computer as well if you'd like. So yeah, my books are over there in the show notes. And so why are identity and choices so important to me? Or why do I think that they always come up? And it's kind of has to do with like a bigger worldview or a philosophy. And with that is, you know, there's so much out of your control and the world is crazy and nuts and things are going to happen that you can't explain and, you know, and you don't know why they happen. And maybe you don't like them. Maybe you do like them. But basically, there's a lot going on that you can't control. And that is not, you know, where if you put energy into those things that you can't control, it's just going to be ultimately wasted energy. But what you can control are those individual choices that you make. And that comes back to shaping your identity and who you are. And you really have a lot of power in those choices. I mean, that really is a lot of control. Because in every moment, you have a choice to make a decision that helps shape who you are as a person, that helps shape your work. And there's so much power in that. And there is so much control in that. And it's actually a very important way to make decisions and to actually, you know, feel powerful and have some control if you're seeking control, but focusing on the things out of your control, obviously, like I said, and you know, isn't going to be productive. So here's one of my stories. Here's a tangent where I had these ideas in my mind for this episode, and then I was stopped at a traffic light just the other day. I was in my car and I noticed a woman walking down the street with a stroller. She had a baby or a toddler in a stroller, if you want to picture that. But why she caught my eye, even though I said walking, she wasn't walking. She was jogging with the stroller. So the stroller with the baby is in front of her and she's behind it pushing it. And she's definitely jogging. She's not walking at a fast pace. She's jogging. So it caught my eye. And I realized I should have been paying attention to driving, which I was, but I was stopped at a traffic light. And so I noticed this woman jogging. So this all happened very quickly. I was glancing at, you know, it just kind of was an odd thing to see. I guess she just probably wanted some exercise while she was out there walking the baby around in the stroller. But she got to a driveway. When she got to the driveway, I noticed she didn't even look. No, you know what? I'm saying driveway. I don't mean driveway. I'm giving you the wrong picture. An alley. She's totally, it could have been a driveway, but it actually was an alley. Cars actively drive down alleys sometimes. So she's walking on the sidewalk. She approaches an alley and she doesn't look in the alley before she keeps jogging and going. And I noticed her eyes were just like straight forward the whole time. And mind you, she's leading with the stroller. It's not like she walked out first into, you know, the part of the sidewalk that crossed the alley. She's leading with the stroller that has a child in it. And she didn't look into the alley to see if a car was coming. And a car was not coming because I could see into the alley from where I was stopped in traffic in the street. But I was so frightened because I was thinking, what if there was a car? Or what if that happens again? And there is a car. She was absolutely not aware or looking. And obviously that would be just completely tragic if there was a car. Because like I said, she was just leading with the stroller. I just saw the stroller go across this, you know, part of the sidewalk that could absolutely have had a car just plowing through there into it. And she, you know, it could have all happened very quickly. I was just really scared as I continued driving, because obviously my red light turned green and I continued on driving and went on with my day. But I was just so frightened of what that situation could have turned into and what it might in the future if she does that often. I don't know, which is horrible and it would have been tragic. However, getting back to choices, she had a choice in that moment when she approached that alley to be cautious or to not be cautious. And again, I don't want to make light of how tragic it would be if there was a speeding car going down the alley, but she was in complete control of that. She was, because the choice she could have made was to stop at the alley, look before she led with the stroller. There are a lot of things that didn't involve just completely jogging through where the alley met the sidewalk and not looking. There were a lot of ways she could have made a preventative choice. And thank God nothing happened. And it, which is, you know, I don't want to sound too callous or harsh, but I do want to put a spotlight on her making a choice in that decision. In that case, her making a decision in that scenario. And, you know, with controlling, you can make the argument that, you know, if someone wants to avoid a scenario like that, they could just never leave the house. They could avoid everything. They could, you know, avoid alleys. They could, they're like way more extreme controlling examples to avoid that scenario, which I might say, you know, like that's excessive, or, you know, that's trying to control things that you can't, you have to live. You can't, you know, hide just because, and, you know, hiding is a great way to control things too. You know, nothing ever happens if you don't ever go out into the world. But this was a person who was out into the world, and what that woman could control is to make sure when she walks, you know, the baby in the stroller, when she gets to the alley, that you know, that nothing bad happens. And I think, you know, I don't know what she was thinking, but I think a lot of the times we can feel out of control, or we can feel that we have no power in a situation. She might, you know, think that, you know, that wasn't something she can control. Maybe it wasn't even on her radar, you know, but she was really taking for granted that things were going to work out okay, which again shocked and scared me, because you don't know. So I like examining these things that are really in our power that can be easily overlooked, because in those decisions are all of those details, again, that ultimately make up our identity. And those things are so powerful moving forward when we make choices about our work and who we are. And if you want to be the editor-in-chief of the content you produce and the editor-in-chief of your business, you have all these opportunities to make decisions and to make choices that give you a lot of power and control. And you might take them for granted unless you really look for them. So I think that's why a lot of what I write about and what I think about in my work, it just really comes back to those two factors, because everybody has that power. Even when you feel powerless and even when you think things are out of your control. So That was my stroller example with a woman. I understand I might be, you know, a little overzealous about it, but it can apply to a lot of different situations, I think, because she might have not thought she had a choice to look, but she did. It was just she wouldn't have that choice if she was taking it for granted. So maybe, you know, what choice can you make that you think you can't? Or what decision can you make about your work going forward that you've maybe taken for granted, or what you don't think you really do have any power over that you do? And if you make that choice, you can help guarantee a more positive outcome for you and to reach your goals more easily. Because going back to the woman with the baby and the stroller, she had the power to make a choice that would guarantee safety for her and the baby. She had a choice. Not looking is a choice too. Right? She did make a choice. She, in my opinion, just didn't make the safest choice. So if someone asks me if I'm being hard on myself, or someone points out not to be hard on myself, I appreciate that, you know, very much. I think being hard on yourself is not a good idea. I don't condone that. But I like going back to being intentional and making that best choice, so you optimize your chances of the best outcome for you. So my last note to go over to the show page on editorinchief.fm is I have in the blog post that goes along with this episode. I don't normally like quotes or things like that. I don't really like putting stuff like that in my work for the most part. But I have a quote from a Simon Joyner song in the subhead. It says, "Get behind the wheel, stay in front of the storm." And I just have a link to that song. And I have the Simon Joyner version of that song. Oh, it's called Burn Rubber. The song is called Burn Rubber. That's where that quote is from. And I have a link to the Simon Joyner version of Burn Rubber. And then I have a link to the Bright Eyes version of that song, Burn Rubber. And I actually heard the Bright Eyes version of that song first. And then I heard Simon Joyner's version, and I thought, well, who wrote that song? I wasn't really sure. So I had to look it up, which is a roundabout way of me going back to what I always say about fact-checking your work before you present it as truth, because I knew it as a Bright Eyes song. I could have just presented it in this episode like that, but it's not accurate. The Bright Eyes version is a cover. Simon Joyner wrote the song. Little details, but they make a big difference when you're attempting to establish yourself as a trustworthy authority when you produce your content. So if you want to quote a song, you want to quote a person, make sure it's accurate. And that is that's my last note for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you staying with me while I went on my impassioned rant about the woman that I saw the other day. And I hope I gave you some good ideas that you can think about when you go back to your work. I'd love if you gave me a rating or a review for Editor-in-Chief over on iTunes. If you have a second to do that, that would be great. So I am Stephanie Flaxman. Thank you for listening to Editor-in-Chief. Now, go become one.